This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's talk a little college football, a little Buckeye football. And welcome aboard a former star linebacker for Ohio State, played at the NFL, Dallas Cowboys and the like. Bobby Carpenter joins us. Hey, Bobby, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, man?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for having me on.
You got it, Bobby. You know that program better than anybody. Taz and I were surprised by the destruction. Were you surprised by what you witnessed on Saturday against Michigan?
I don't know about surprise. You know, it was unexpected, to say the least. I think that this team, when you look at it, they've always been talented. And that's, you're kind of analyzing it, what's frustrating is you see a team that's got a lot of really good players. And they hadn't been playing all out great for a number of weeks. And so going into the game, someone was asking me on a flight the day before, like, what do you think? And, like, I could easily see them winning by 17. I could see them losing by 17, just depending on how they show up. And so that's just been frustrating for the fans, the coaches. And they're the most talented team in the Big Ten. But Michigan had been playing a lot better. I mean, that's no secret. So, you know, was I surprised? Not surprised, but I definitely – it was unexpected, the fact that they were able to get up early like that. And then I was very impressed with the way they were able to finally close it out and really have control of that game from kick to finish.
Hey, so Bobby, all right, so as we all know, right, so Ohio State now, the Buckeyes are sitting at six. Can you see any scenario right now where Ohio State can jump into one of those four spots?
You know, I think a lot of it's going to depend how each team looks.
Right.
In their conference championship game. Oklahoma has to play Texas, a team that they lost to. So if they win that game, their argument is they beat every team on their schedule they played, which is true. The problem with the Big 12 is they don't really play any defenses.
Right.
It's really, and I don't say that flippantly. Like, I've watched at least one Big 12 game every week from the top tier teams, and it's not that there's just bad. I mean, they cannot tackle. I mean, it's embarrassing sometimes. And not that Ohio State's defense has been great all year. But they finally put together a full game against Michigan. So now they're playing a team in Northwestern that isn't all that offensively talented. So for them to make a jump, they're going to have to look impressive. And I don't know what that looks like. You know, I don't know if you can put a score on it. You probably know it when you see it.
Right, right.
They win a game 35-7, and they were up 28-0 at halftime. Is that enough to get it done? Maybe. I do think the one thing that helped, though, is I always try to look where the committee moves a team after a loss. And where they move. And so, you know, Penn State, that's one of Ohio State's good wins. They're sitting there at 12. And then you have Michigan, who just got throttled
right
by Ohio State. And they only dropped to, I believe, 7 or 8.
They're at 7.
So they're still sitting. Yeah, so there's two teams there in the top 12 that if the committee wants to make the argument next week that Ohio State, you know, what are their best two wins, they have two top 12 wins. And so I think that was pretty critical, the fact that the committee didn't drop Michigan outside of the top 10, which they very easily could have.
Yeah, so, Bob,
I think that gives them.
Sorry, good, continue. Yeah, go ahead. I interrupt you. Good, continue.
It just gives them a little bit of a backstop for reasoning, because I think they picked the four teams and then they built out the reasons later. So I think that gives them a little bit of a reason.
Okay. Just to circle back real quick, talking about defense, talk about Ohio State, you being a guy who, you know, obviously an expert on the topic and your history as a player for all the years and success you had at that linebacker spot. So break it down for me, man, like, because I'm with you. I feel like if you had to compare the Sooners and the Buckeyes, I definitely think you got to give defensively, you definitely got to give the edge towards Ohio State as far as a better defense. But can you get a little deeper for me, man? Like, what's the weak link? What's the strong spots of the Buckeyes defense right now?
Well, you know, it hurt losing Nick Bosa. I think they had one of the best defensive lines in the country. I mean, they were very comparable to Alabama, to Clemson before that. You know, once Nick Bosa left, I mean, he's going to be a top three or four pick.
Sure.
I still think the D-line is the strength of that defense, so they're really good. Linebacker-wise, they've been really young, and so they've missed some assignments. They've missed some tackles throughout the year, but they finally put it all together. Like, they have talented guys. You know, so one of the issues, even a little bit on Saturday, was in the secondary. You know, they've been kind of spinning through some safeties. Those guys played well. They've got some good young corners. You know, but I'd say that if you looked at the defense in totality, that's the area they probably struggled the most, is in the back end making plays.
Bobby, where you look at this year for the head coach, for Urban Meyer, you know, the certainly the way the year started to where it is right now, there's been a lot of discussion about the future of Urban Meyer in Ohio State. Where do you see in terms of, I mean, obviously, you know, they play for a national championship, get themselves into a Final Four, but what about where Urban is here and his future as Buckeye head coach?
You know, I think it was very difficult, everything you went through earlier this season. Sitting out three games, the kind of manner of which it was handled. If I was him, I would have felt abandoned. Now, I'm not saying that that's how he felt with the university, but, you know, I could see that that could be a feeling that he would have had, where he's done a lot. And, you know, frankly, in his mind, he did everything right. And looking at everything that I saw, I think he followed the protocol that he was supposed to. So I think that he felt probably a little abandoned. There's been a lot of stress on him this season. They haven't been playing as well as they would have liked. I think Saturday went a long way to kind of righting a lot of that. And it feels good to win. It feels good to beat your rival. It feels good to beat Jim Harbaugh. You know, when he dresses up like Bo Schembech or in like a glorified Halloween costume every Saturday. Like, I think those things felt good for him. And so at this point, I would be very, very surprised if he's not back next year.
That was funny.
Yeah, I mean, that is.
Bob Schembech.
Taz asked you about the defense, and certainly the offense and Haskins, who, you know, has been unbelievable. I mean, the 42 touchdowns, the over 4,000 passing yards this season. What about for Haskins stepping in this year, a lot of expectations, and really living up and playing up to those expectations?
Yeah, that was something that, you know, everybody that was around the program a lot knew how he could spin the football. You know, it was, and people forget, it was him and Joe Burrow back and forth, and he had, you know, the Louisville or the LSU Tigers. I mean, heck, they're ranked in the top 10, you know, most of the season until their most recent seven overtime loss. So those guys were battling back and forth, and they were different kind of quarterbacks. There was no denying Dwayne's arm talent, and you could just kind of see him become more and more comfortable in camp. I think a lot of people were surprised. You know, I was not, because I'd watched it happen. And the guy with that type of arm talent, if you're going to give him time, he's only going to get better and better throughout the year. And you saw against the best ranked, you know, number one ranked passing defense, for whatever that's worth, and him shred him up. I know, you guys, you know, up in New York, I mean, if you're looking for a guy to replace Eli, I mean, he might be your dude eventually.
That could be.
He can spin the football as well as anybody.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, speaking on quarterbacks, Bobby, so Moose and I were talking earlier, man, about who's more important to their team. So I would love to ask that to you. Kyler Murray with the Sooners or Tua with Alabama?
You know, I think it would have to be Kyler Murray, because if you take Tua, I think, and Tua's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And it's not that he's not great.
Right, right.
But I always look at how good you are and how important you are relative to your replacement, kind of a baseball, you know, a war kind of analogy. I mean, you take Kyler Murray off the Sooners, I think they probably are a four-loss team. He's done a ton for them. You take Tua off this Bama team, and that's not a knock on him. It's just that they're so talented, and they have a guy in Jalen Hurts that took them to a national championship a couple years ago. So I think that Kyler Murray is infinitely more important to Oklahoma right now, just based upon who his backup is and what he has to do for them to be successful.
You know, Bobby, as we are next Sunday, right around noon Eastern, they're going to unveil the Final Four. We got championship weekend that's coming, and a lot needs to play out in order to see exactly who are those Final Four teams. But if we asked you right now, sitting here on this Wednesday morning, Bobby, watching all these teams as you have all season long, who do you think the four best college football teams, regardless of record, are in America right now?
Gosh, that's tough, because if Georgia's right up there, they're probably not going to beat Bama, and that second loss would eliminate them. You know, as far as best, I would put Ohio State in that mix. I might put Georgia in there over Notre Dame, and that's going to upset a lot of people. I think Notre Dame is more deserving, and so I think that there's an element where you have to kind of balance that. Who's the most deserving, and then who's the best out of that group? If you ask the four best, I would probably say Bama, Clemson, Georgia, and Ohio State, with Oklahoma right on the outside. The four teams that I would probably put in, assuming that everyone holds serve, is I would probably end up going Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and I think Ohio State's going to look good enough. I think Texas will probably give Oklahoma a run, so I would put Ohio State in over Oklahoma.
Now think about that, Bobby. Now, so like you talk about Notre Dame, So it's crazy, right? You know, Moose and I were talking the other day, maybe yesterday, I can't remember now, but about Notre Dame. All these squads, right, all these guys that are in the running, top four, top five, top six programs, whatever, they all got to go and battle and play. They got to play in a conference championship. With Notre Dame, they don't have to. It's just that's where it falls as an independent. I mean, I don't want to sit there like we're all men, not like we're babies, but like it's almost, I hate to say it like this, but it's almost like not fair. Like they get to sit back and just watch, you know, while these other teams just battle it out.
Yeah, and then there is, I've heard that argument before, and that kind of hurt the Big 12 in 2014 when Ohio State got in over Baylor and TCU. I will say this, Notre Dame's schedule has not been great this year.
Correct.
But it's not been great due to anything they've done. You know, they had a Florida State team on there, which 3 years ago you would have said, okay, that's a top 10 team that you're playing. Stanford has historically been really good.
Yeah.
USC has historically been very good. And so they played a schedule that I would say was looked on paper as if it was going to be as tough as anybody's. And, yeah, well, they're only playing 12 as opposed to 13. I'm going to try and not hold that against them because I think they did everything they could have with their schedule this year to make it as difficult as possible. It's not their fault that the teams they played didn't end up being what they were supposed to be.
You know, Bobby, I asked you about Urban Meyer and how difficult of a year, and you mentioned that, you know, you think he'll be back next year as Buckeye head coach. Should we at all be surprised at how easy? I know a lot of hard work goes into it, but the run that he has had at Ohio State, if it weren't for Nick Saban and what he's done at Alabama, I mean, it would be columns, headlines, you know, all the he has just been what he's done at that Ohio State program in terms of wins and losses is just remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's averaging one loss per season, which when you look at that now, I mean, it's very, very impressive. He took a program that, you know, hit a little bit of a dip, you know, in a year, the transition year with Luke Fickle in between Jim Tressel. And, I mean, it's pretty amazing what he's done and how he's built this program, recruited well, brought in good coaches. You know, I didn't say I was skeptical coming in because I knew how good he'd been at Florida, but I didn't know if that would translate because you see that happen all the time. But it's been very impressive to watch. It's been impressive the type of kids he's brought in. He hasn't had any of the off-the-field issues with players the way he had at Florida, and so I would say, yeah, I mean, it's as good a run as you're going to see anywhere in college football.
You know, and Bobby, we'll close it out here. One more just kind of a curveball question for you because he got introduced as the next Tar Heel head coach. But how about Mac Brown after 5 years at ESPN? You know, did a great job at Carolina, did a great job at Texas. Now at 67 years of age, stepping back into the college game. I mean, you're around that Ohio State program. You're a star linebacker for the Buckeyes. But when you look at college kids and a guy at 67 being able to try and rebuild that, do you like the hire by Carolina bringing Mac Brown back?
Well, I think the problem is now, like you even look at Louisville when they brought back Bobby Petrino. You know, the schools are just trying, especially schools that are in that middle tier where they've been good at times, but they're not necessarily in Ohio State or Bama, USC, Texas. Like, they don't have that huge brand name. They're trying to find a way to get to become as relevant as possible. Mac Brown is a very well-known face. He's had success at Texas, success at obviously North Carolina before, bringing in guys like Julius Peppers and Dre Bly. I mean, he can recruit well. And so the question is, at 67, can he still do it? I don't think Mac Brown was ever this guy that you would define as an offensive or defensive genius. He's a great administrative head coach. And part of that is hiring great assistants around you who know what to do. And I think he'll do a great job of that. Is he going to be there 10 years? Probably not. But I think North Carolina's thinking, can we get this thing running again for the next five? And I do believe that Mac Brown, while I don't think that they're going to, you know, become, you know, a national powerhouse, I do think he'll have Carolina in the top five consistently after a couple seasons.
Bobby Carpenter, thanks for joining us, Bobby. We certainly appreciate the time this morning. Great perspective on Ohio State around college football. And have a good Wednesday and happy holidays. All right, Bobby?
Thanks, Bob.
Hey, yes, gentlemen. Thank you. You guys have a good one.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.